We have case number 64587, Clark County versus the State of Nevada Tax Commission and Howard Hughes Corporation. Okay, Mr. Johnson, you're here representing Clark County. You wish to proceed?
Yes.
And would you like to reserve some time?
Yes. There are 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay, very well.
This case arose at the Nevada Tax Commission. It was a companion case to the LB's Properties case that you decided last year. They were both decided the same day by the Tax Commission, LB Properties first, and then this case. The result at that time was consistent. The Tax Commission ruled that in the absence of regulations implementing the remainder portion of the abatement statutes, the assessor had properly applied the statutes. And the difference was in LB Properties, the question of whether or not there was, in fact, a remainder parcel was conceded by the assessor, but not the how you got to the value that that should be taxed. And this court held last year that it was improper to retroactively apply those regulations because they were legislative and not interpretive. And it's our position that you should reach the same result with this case. The difference in this case is that you have to step back one more step and look at whether there was, in fact, even a remainder parcel here, because the assessor disagreed with the taxpayer on that issue. And so you never even got to the how do you value it issue, because if there is no remainder, then you just value it as strictly as a new parcel at new value. So what happened was that that was appealed to the district court. The district court didn't like the Tax Commission's decision for a couple of reasons. Number one, they hadn't put any real findings and conclusions that he could tell how they got there. And number two, he was concerned because, as we talked about in the LB's Properties case last year, there were some cases that the department director had told the assessors if they were filed before the regulations came out, apply the regulations. So in some cases, that was done. And the court thought that was made it so that you had to, it was unfair and unequal treatment, that some cases got that treatment, some didn't, so that he remanded it for findings of fact, and also because he was unhappy that some parcels were treated differently. The Tax Commission issued another ruling with findings of fact and conclusions of law, which again upheld this assessor's decision, and that was taken back to the district court, and he didn't like that. This time not because of the findings and conclusions, obviously, but because he still didn't think that it was fair because some people got treated differently. But the reality is that there are many thousands of parcels in Clark County, and the handful that actually got treated differently under the regulations cannot overweigh the proper treatment that was given to all the other ones. It was a mistake to apply the regulations. It shouldn't have been done. But that shouldn't become binding in every other case, because you have a handful of cases that were done under the regulations. It doesn't mean you have to do them all under the regulations. In fact, thousands were not done under the regulations. The testimony was, I believe there were, over the course of the 2 years that there were no regulations, there were something like 140,000 parcels that the Clark County assessor had to look at and determine whether they were remainder or not remainder, and so on. So finally, after the second remand, the Tax Commission tried to get a stay because they knew that the LB Properties case was pending, and they wanted to be consistent in their rulings as they had been up to that point. And so they went back and asked the district court, please grant a stay until the Supreme Court has a chance to tell us whether we can retroactively apply these regulations. And the Supreme Court said, no, you don't get a stay. You have to issue a ruling. So in that, when it was remanded back, they really didn't have much choice but to go with what was in front of them, which was to go along with applying the regulations, because that would satisfy the district court's concern that some people had the regulations and some people didn't. But then that would create an even greater inequity in the county's view, that there were many thousands of people that didn't get the regulations. Just because this property happened to appeal, they get a different treatment than all those other properties. So I think that LB Properties is controlling on the issue of how you arrive at the value if it is a remainder. you said that it's, you can't retroactively apply, and I think it's persuasive on whether you can apply the remainder regulations to get it, whether it, there even isn't a remainder, because it, this is clearly legislation. The remainder regulation says that when you have a parcel that it, you cut out a piece for development, what remains is treated as a remainder parcel. That makes perfect sense. That's what remainder means. And but then they added a second proviso, unless that remaining parcel has changed use, and then you treat it as a new parcel anyway. Well, unfortunately, the tax commission regulations don't say that. What they say for commercial property is if you take a piece, if you create a new commercial property from an existing property, and you don't change the use, it's a remainder. Doesn't matter. That's just point blank. Everything, every commercial property that's cut, unless you actually change the use, which the only way you can do under the regulations is to actually begin construction on the property, then it's got to be a remainder. And that's not what the statute says. The statute says if you, you have to take out a parcel for development, and that gets new value, and then what's left, the larger parcel, is the remainder. So the issues for the court are, first, whether you can retroactively apply.
Actually, the statute doesn't say the larger parcel gets remainder. The size.
I don't think it says the larger parcel, no. There was testimony.
Size is missing.
Right. There was testimony by the Legislative Council Bureau that what they're trying to get at is where you have these large parcels that are basically sitting there dormant, and they carve out one little piece that they're going to develop, and you want to get new value on that piece, but you leave the rest alone and just leave it as it was. So based on that testimony by a legislative council, that was the intent. And it also makes sense, because if you're carving out pieces, if you're going to just have one remainder, I don't think you can have multiple remainders. The statute says a remainder parcel, not however many you want. Then the largest one's probably the one that's the true remainder.
Well, in this case, how big was the mother parcel?
I believe that the mother parcel was 46 acres.
And then the remainder that's at stake was approximately 3 acres?
This was about 3.5 acres, the parcel we're looking at. And
then the other, so the other seven parcels that were divided were about what?
Then well, the biggest chunk was about 17 acres. That's okay. The one that the assessor decided was the remainder. And the others were all small, about the same size as this parcel. And what the assessor did, they looked, and there was actually a parcel that had been cut off the year prior that was about the exact same size as this parcel that currently had been developed. There was actually something on it. So they looked at that and said, okay, he's created a map. It's the right size for commercial development in this area. There's one right down the street that they've already developed that's this size. They're probably not going to make it any smaller. This is a new parcel for development, so therefore it should be taxed. It's not a remainder. And whether or not they actually constructed anything out doesn't make any difference. I mean, it would be a rare case where you do a parcel map and you immediately go out and build something on it, especially a big developer like Hughes. They sell these out to somebody else who actually builds the property. And I think it's also unfair because the regulation doesn't treat residential properties that way. For residential properties, as soon as you cut it down to the right size for a lot to build a house, that gets taxed. Doesn't matter whether you've done any construction or anything.
Let's assume for the moment that the court agreed with you that the regulations are not applied retroactively. How does the assessor arrive at the conclusion that the 3.62-acre parcel is for new development?
Well, as I said, the main thing they looked at was they looked at what was being developed in that area. They knew it was commercial to begin with. It was zoned for commercial, and it wasn't residential. You wouldn't normally have a 3.5-acre residential. But right up the street, there was one that Hughes had cut out the year before, about the exact same size, that had been developed into a commercial.
Is the reason for the creation of the parcels or the intent of the owner of the property play a role in deciding these questions, and shouldn't it?
Well, I think there's a lot of factors.
Again, pre-regulation.
I think that, number one, why did they even cut it in the first place? It costs money to create a parcel map, so they must have had some reason why they did that. And the reason, presumably, is that they intend to develop it, because it's now the right size to sell off to somebody else to build on.
I may be mistaken. I thought somewhere in the record there was a suggestion that it was done to accomplish a boundary adjustment.
I think the taxpayer suggested that it's because they put a road through the property. That's, mm-hmm. But that was only one of the cuts. If you look at the maps, there was also an additional cut to create this parcel. One cut doesn't create a parcel. Mm-hmm. They had to do an additional mapping in order to create this parcel. So, yeah, looking at all the circumstances, the assessor arrived at the, and even the tax commission.
At the time that the assessor made its determination, it made no inquiry of the property owner as to the reason for the division or what the property owner considered to be the use of this property.
No, I don't think they did. And that would be, I mean, like I said, there's thousands and thousands of these parcels every year, so they can just look at the maps. I'd just like to mention a couple of other things. Number one, on page 13, the decision itself in the findings of fact actually says that this parcel was cut in preparation for development, but yet it went on to conclude that it was a remainder parcel. The taxpayers really, they basically want all of the parcels to be remainder parcels. That's what was their argument that they filed, and they said, we want every single parcel that's been cut off of this to be a remainder. And if you allow them to apply the regs, that's probably going to be the result. But I don't think that's the proper result under the statute. Thank you. I'll reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you very much. Okay, counsel.
Thank you. I'm Paul Bancroft with the law firm of Lionel Sorin Collins. I'm appearing on behalf of Howard Hughes Properties, Inc. In his opening remarks, Mr. Johnson pointed out that the Tax Commission has adopted a regulation that establishes a procedure for determining whether a new parcel is a remainder parcel or whether it is considered a new parcel for development. That regulation became effective after the commencement of the tax year at issue here. Because of that, Mr. Johnson argues the Tax Commission's decision improperly retroactively applied the regulation to this case. That argument's not based on the facts of this case, and it totally ignores the prior decisions that have been entered in this proceeding. The issue that he's raised was resolved by Judge Russell over 4 years ago, and since then, no one has argued that the regulation should be given a retroactive effect. In his order granting the petition for judicial review, Judge Russell wrote, quote, regulations like statutes operate prospectively unless an intent to apply them retroactively is clearly manifested. The remainder regulations do not provide for retroactive application, and because they became effective after the assessor made its determination, they are not controlling in this case, close quote. That's the law of the case. We have lived with that for the past 4 years. Consequently, in this case, when it was remanded to the Tax Commission, Judge Russell instructed the Tax Commission to determine whether the subject property was a remainder parcel pursuant to the statute. He directed them to figure, because there's a definition of remainder parcel in the statute, and he directed them to determine whether it was a remainder parcel as defined by the statute. On remand, before the Tax Commission, both Mr. Johnson and myself advised the Tax Commission that the regulations were not controlling because they were not to be given a retroactive effect, that it was up to the Tax Commission to come up with a standard to apply in this case to determine whether this was a remainder parcel. Furthermore, the chairman of the Tax Commission counseled the other members. We're not to apply the regulation retroactively. We're to come up with our own standard to be applied in this case. The Tax Commission did, and they made their finding that the parcel, in this case, the subject parcel, is appropriately characterized as a remainder parcel for purposes of NRS 361-4722. Their holding was in reference to the statute, not the regulation. This case does not concern the retroactive application of the regulation. Instead, it's simply a proceeding seeking judicial review of the administrative decision of the Tax Commission under the Administrative Procedures Act. As such, the issue before the court is whether it is supported by substantial evidence and is not otherwise arbitrary or capricious or characterized by an abuse of discretion. In reviewing the Tax Commission's decision, to see if it is supported by the first inquiry is to see if it's supported by substantial evidence. The regulation or the statute here, the definition of remainder parcel in the statute, refers to draws a distinction between a new parcel that's taken away for development, as opposed to a new parcel whose use has not changed. So, in reviewing the evidence, one would look for evidence of development, evidence of construction activity, that would give an indication it was taken out for development, or they would look for a change of use to see if there's any change of use that would take it out of this remainder parcel status. Here, however, the evidence shows that the county, before partition, the county described the land use of this area as vacant. And after partition, they continued to describe the land use of this parcel as vacant. Furthermore, the assessor acknowledged that there was no construction or development activity on this site. In fact, at the time of the administrative hearing in this case, 21 months after the commencement of the tax year at issue, parcel was still vacant. There was still no construction activity and no development activity.
Mr. Bancroft,
yes.
Maybe I've got these out of order, but the September 16, 2011 decision of the Tax Department says simply, the Tax Commission unanimously voted to adopt the ALJ's proposed decision, which it had previously rejected, which is incorporated herein by this reference as its findings of fact, conclusions of law, and decision. Is it not the case that the ALJ used the regulations as the basis for his decision, Mr. Zazzino? That's a deep sigh.
No, I'm just trying to organize my thoughts because your question is good. You're on point.
Well, that's good to know. I'm glad I'm in the right church and the right pew. But the point is, you began your argument with the cogent point that the judge said the regulations don't apply. He sends her back, and the Tax Commission then adopts, seems to me, adopts exactly what the ALJ's decision said, which, as I understood it, is based upon the application of the regulations, which the court had said would only be applied prospectively.
First, in terms of the tax Commission decision for the September 16th order, the Tax Commission, if you go back to the minutes of the meeting, it's clear both sides are arguing for different standards. The Tax Commission was considering two different standards. One, which was advocated by the assessor, was a subjective standard based on their impression that based on this size it was ready for development. The other standard that was argued was, is the standard I argued, both in this case, as well as during regulatory hearings for the development of regulations, I argued that for there to be a new parcel for development, there needed to be some objective standard of identifying that construction activity on this property is imminent. That standard was incorporated in the regulation. That's correct. That doesn't mean that that wasn't a standard being that was also the same standard I applied, not because it was in the regulation, but because an objective standard makes sense.
Well, that may be, but it looks like the Tax Commission's express order, I mean, it couldn't be clearer. unanimously voted to adopt the ALJ's proposed decision as its findings of fact, conclusions of law, and decision.
And if you look at the...
Could you answer my first question? Did the ALJ adopt as its conclusions of law the application of the regulations?
The answer is no. The administrative law judge refers to the, discusses the regulations, that they have been adopted, but he recognizes they are not controlling in this case. And he goes on to say, regardless, you know, we're not applying them retroactively, regardless. What we're looking for is a standard that shows, a standard that's preferable, has some construction activity on the parcel immediately following the partition of the property.
Okay. So then the question is this. What you're saying is that he didn't use the regulation, but he used a standard which is equivalent to the regulation.
Correct. Correct. That boils down the issue.
And so my question is this. Where in the statute did the ALJ get that?
The statute, if you look at the definition of remainder parcel, it talks about the a remainder parcel of property is what remains after something is taken away for development as long as the use has not changed. So the question is not application of a regulation or not a regulation, but what standard should the tax commission apply to determine has something been taken away for development? Because in this case, there's no suggestion that there was a change in use. That's not on the table. What is on the table, and what they argued at, in front of the administrative law judge, was that there, this was one of the parcels that had been taken away for development. It wasn't, and so what standard do you use to determine if it was taken away for development? The assessor argued a subjective standard. I know it when I see it. The size of this parcel suggests that it's taken away for development. We went there and said no and urged the administrative law judge and the tax commission both apply an objective standard. We know you, the regulation isn't retroactive. It's not compelling this result. What we're saying is, why do you want an objective standard? Because the tax commission found that the standard offered by the assessor was subjective, difficult to apply in a uniform, predictable manner, and that it was preferable to have some objective evidence of development before you make to make that determination. This is a...
So for the taxpayer in question, there was no evidence of development.
Pardon?
For the tax year in question, there was no evidence of development on the property.
None. No evidence of development in that tax year. 21 months later, when we had the administrative hearing, all the parties agreed. No construction activity, no development activity on this site. It still was vacant land held for future development. That's exactly what the legislature was trying to get at when they enacted the tax cap to avoid spikes in property tax values. This case, I probably have not done a good job in oral argument. And
probably better than you think from my point of view.
And the briefs themselves, I think, make this more complicated and confusing than it is. This action is simply the judicial review of an administrative decision of the Tax Commission. The Tax Commission applied the facts of this case to the standard in the statute. They concluded that it was a remainder parcel. That decision supported by substantial evidence. The only disagreement was, well, in applying the standard in the statute, are you applying a subjective approach to this? Or are you applying some kind of objective standard? If you go with the subjective standard suggested by the assessor, it essentially eliminates the ability for meaningful review, administrative review. Because all the assessor did in this case was say, I know it when I see it. The size of this suggested to me it's a remainder. And tax commission, you have to follow what I'm saying because we're taking the other option off the table. We're saying we're essentially using LB properties to preclude the tax commission from considering the alternative standards. The alternative standard in this case was an objective standard that looked for some evidence of construction or development activity on the parcel, and it just didn't exist. Their argument goes on. They didn't address it during oral argument, but in their briefs they talked about the conflict between the regulation and the statute and the validity of the regulations. Again, that's not an issue that needs to be addressed here. The tax commission was charged with applying the regulation or the statute. They used the definition in the statute, applied it to the facts of this case. And the situations he's posited as creating that conflict are not based on the facts of this case. They're hypotheticals. So I ask that you affirm the decision of the tax commission as the district court did in this case.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bancroft. Mr. Johnson.
So the argument of the taxpayer is they weren't really applying the regulations. They were just doing what the regulations told them to do, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And again, I think, again, at page, the decision, the actual decision that you're reviewing at Joint Appendix 13, last line, during the 2005-06 fiscal year, the parcel, which is an issue here, was cut from the parent parcel in preparation for development of the land area encompassed by the legal boundaries of the parcel, which is exactly what the statute says. If you cut a new parcel for development, it doesn't say if you cut a new parcel and start building on it, then it gets new value. It's as soon as you cut a parcel to prepare for development of that parcel, then it's no longer a remainder. And whether or not you built anything on it makes no difference whatsoever. It would be a rare occasion when, as I mentioned before, that you would do a parcel map and immediately go out there and start building on it. There's a lot of other steps before you can even get to that, approvals and plans, checks, and everything else. But the reality is that you...
Counsel, I'm at Joint Appendix 13. What line are you looking at?
Joint Appendix 13, line 25. It's in the findings of fact of the administrative law judge's opinion. Paragraph 2.
Yeah. And
during the 2005-06 fiscal year, the parcel was cut from the parent parcel in preparation for development, going on to the next page. Right. On a land area encompassed by the legal boundaries of the parcel. That's a finding of fact.
Right, but the sentence before that says, at no time were any physical improvements constructed on the parcel or the parent parcel.
And I don't disagree with that. My argument is the law doesn't say that. It doesn't say a new parcel under construction. It says as soon as you cut it. The problem is they have to make this decision the year the parcel is cut. That's the only time.
But, counsel, the definition of remainder parcel in 361-47226 concludes with these words: if the use of that remaining parcel has not changed from the immediately preceding fiscal year.
Right.
Forget the regulations. Let's say the court agrees completely with you, they don't apply. Then what is it that one is supposed to look at to determine whether the use has changed? Why wouldn't we look at the parcel itself?
I think it's a two-part test.
Okay.
Number one, you have a big parcel, you have a parcel, you cut a piece off. All right. There has to be a new parcel for development. The statute, there can't be a remainder unless you took something away from it. So then the question is this parcel we're looking at the remainder, or is this a new parcel for development that's taken away? And to determine that, what the assessor has done is said, number one, you're cutting it. It's cost money. You must be preparing to develop it. Number two, we look at the area and say, what are all the other parcels in this area? What size are they when they're getting developed? If it's consistent with that, does it have the proper zoning, is it commercial, et cetera, then we say that's probably a new parcel. But if it's, if you have this big chunk that's left that's still too big to be developed, that's going to be the remainder. Now, the if clause is the second test. Let's say it is the big parcel that's left, and we would normally say that's the remainder. But if they've changed the use somehow, it's now no longer just sitting there vacant, they've built something on it, or they're doing something different with it, then it's, that's a second test that says it can't be a remainder. First test, is it the right size? Is it everything proper for that to be developed now? Then that becomes a new parcel for development, not a remainder. Second test, even if it is the big parcel, if you've changed the use of that parcel, then it can't be a remainder. Then we have to give it new value. Now, that's where this tax commission's gone wrong, and the regulations have gone wrong. They just say, they ignore the whole first clause and just say, has the use changed? If it's changed, it's, you tax it. If it hasn't, you don't. And that's not what the statute says. That's the error that they make in the regulations. And that's why they're inconsistent with the statute. Thank you.
Okay. And thank you both for actually excellent arguments. I think very discreet issue here we'll take a look at, and we will take the case under submission at this time. The court will be in recess until the next call of the court. Mm-hmm.